Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You've got us both today. Can you cope with that?
Woo.
Is that okay? We've got teams in Phnom Penh. We've got teams in Indonesia. But you've got us today. So it's going to be absolutely fantastic, I think. I hope and pray. We don't often do this, but it's kind of special. We want to just be able to share with you around some thoughts of wholeness and even in the area of relationships, particularly if we haven't met yet, there's a lot of new people in the room. We're Ken and Chrissy and we are married. That's why we are sharing the stage together, because it'd be weird.
It's like a live connect group today.
It's a live connect group. How many of you got a connect groups? Usually see us on connect screen, but it's live and in the room. Today, we are passionate about seeing wholeness in people's lives manifested in the area of relationships. And like we said before, we're married, but we're also, I'm a son, she's a daughter, we're leaders, we're friends, and we understand that relationships aren't easy, are they? How many of you have easy relationships? Like, it's just amazingly sweet everywhere you go. They can be hard. They're full of challenges. And, you know, frequently our lack of wholeness or our issues play out in the backdrop of our relationships. If you go to a deserted island and it's only you, I promise you, you won't be having any issues in your relationships. Like, you will agree with yourself 100% of the time. You will have the same opinions with yourself 100% of the time. You won't ever offend yourself 100% of the time. The desert island is the place to be. Just let me have a moment, even if just a week.
It's fantasizing.
How about if you don't? That's not reality. That's absolutely not reality. And the reality is, we do family life, marriage life, office life with people that are different, with different personalities, different habits, different quirks, different priorities, different cultures, different beliefs, different upbringings. And if that wasn't hard enough already, people are constantly changing. How many of you are married in the room? How many of you know that right now you are not married to the same person that you first met? I've changed. She's definitely changed. I had hair when she first met me.
Yeah, amen.
I have changed a lot through the years. And though we laugh, I reckon it's our issues, our personal dysfunctions and areas of lack of wholeness that are often the cause of relational breakdowns and conflicts. So what do we do? How do we get along better in the world that we live in with one another? Well, let's ask Jesus today, shall we? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5 says this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, or your wife, or your friend, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that incredible bit of advice? Thank you so much, team.
So today, with that text from Matthew chapter 7 in mind, we are going to preach a sermon called Judge Yourself. It's going to hurt yourself. So good today. Is that all right? I was going to say turn to your neighbor and say judge yourself, but that's maybe not
too
the
judgy.
Way. That's too judgy. So, but this sermon is called Judge Yourself. So we've just read this text from Matthew 7. We know it's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's training us as disciples. He's sharing with us how we as kingdom people ought to live our lives. And in this particular section of his Sermon on the Mount, he is helping us with our relationships. And I don't think we give Jesus enough credit for how much He's trying to help us with our relationships here. He wants us to have amazing relationships, but we perhaps don't lean into the text as deeply as we ought. And the way Jesus is actually doing that for us is he is pointing out to us a giant problem that exists in all human relationships. And that problem is called judgment. Everybody say judgment. Judgment. That was softer. That was easier. So he's actually showing us through this text that all of us have a default setting. You know, appliances have a factory setting, have defaults. And we have a default setting because of our fallen nature, because of our sin nature. Our default setting is towards judging one another rather than judging ourselves. And he uses this idea of a plank in our own eye and a tiny speck in someone else's eye to describe how many of us conduct ourselves in our relationships. And it's this idea that we all tend to have a tremendous amount to say about the behavior of others and the things that others say and the things that others do and whether they're right or whether they're wrong. And we're basically always inspecting that speck in someone else's eye, all the while giving minimal attention or little or no attention to judging perhaps the more significant issues of our own lives. So Jesus is using this very Jewish way of playing off the two extremes of size, the plank and the speck. And he's trying to get this message across to us to say that we often judge and criticize the small faults in the people that we're in relationship with, and we're ignoring or we're justifying or we're minimizing or blaming perhaps the more significant faults that we have in ourselves. And we find that these types of judgments are absolutely everywhere. We do it on a macro scale where we judge celebrities, we judge politicians, we judge preachers, I judge you, you judge me. We do it on a micro scale as well. We do it with those people that we're in close relationship with, our spouses, our family, our friends.
So true. And so Jesus uses this word judge or judgment in Matthew 7. And the Greek definition of this word judge is krino, meaning to pass condemnatory judgment or criticism that is based on self-righteousness. Think about that for a moment. That's the word Jesus is using. So we live in a society that, if you would agree with me, that where judgment is actually rife. Yeah. From keyboard warriors, online anonymity, all that stuff. We don't hold back on crinoing everyone and everything. It's almost considered normal, right? To judge whether something is good or bad, right or wrong. It's the law according to me. It's the world according to me. And so we can then tend to bring this critical judging disposition into our relationships, and we feel like it's our right to judge and criticize the behaviors and the words of the people that we're in relationship with, but we don't really want to pay all that much attention to our own faults and our own dysfunctions. Yeah. I want you to think about someone that does this and think about how that might play out in their relational world. You know, someone that constantly judges you for your faults and criticizes you and picks on you, wants to hold you accountable for all of the little wrong things that you do, but pay very little attention to their own issues and their own, or even want to hold themselves accountable for their own behaviors. I mean, that pretty much paints a picture of what you'd call a relationally difficult person, right? And if we're here today continuing to justify being a judge or a critic of others whilst avoiding addressing our own issues, could it be that we, in fact, could be that difficult person? Yeah. And the question that we want to ask and park around today, this uncomfortable question is this: how's that working for you? How's that working for me?
We can promise you it did not work very well for us in our marriage, the whole judgment thing. Because the truth is it okay if we get a bit real here today? I know I told you this was going to hurt so good. But, you know, in our marriage, I felt like the judge and jury over all of his behaviors. But he felt like the judge and jury over all of my behaviors. And the result was there was a whole lot of conflict. The result that the marriage was actually quite a broken relationship, and nothing about our marriage was getting any better. In fact, things were probably getting worse. And is that not the truth in all of our relationships when we're hypercritical of one another, when we're deeply judging one another? There is no life there. There will be no harmony there. And we feel very justified in doing it, don't we? We feel justified. But when we do, the ongoing atmosphere of our homes, the ongoing atmosphere of our relationships does feel broken because nobody likes being judged and it perpetuates conflict as everyone wants to vie for who's better and who's worse. And there's nothing good that comes at the end of all that judging. And that's where Jesus steps in and says, I have a solution for you guys. I have something that is actually going to help your relationships. Instead of judging them, judge yourself. Like, it's actually going to help you. Jesus is saying to us that what we should be most interested in most of the time is judging ourselves, not judging the others around us, but judging ourselves. Let's revisit Matthew 7:4. We just read it. Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a giant plank in your own? He says, you hypocrite. Don't hate on me. That's Jesus. Jesus said that. You know, he's calling out our hypocrisy. You know, sometimes, particularly when we're interacting with our spouse or we're interacting with somebody that we're in close relationship with, we think we are helping them by continually letting them know what their flaws are. Right? But if we haven't firstly and ongoingly done the work of judging our own selves, then Jesus says to us, you're not a helper, you're a hypocrite. Ouch, like ouch to all of us, but it's a blessing. Trust us, it's a blessing. A hypocrite is someone that expounds one standard but lives by another. So a hypocrite expects someone to do something that they don't even expect themselves to do. You know, that's a hypocrite. Like, we all can call someone else out for being late or call someone else out for making us wait, but then we would justify our own lateness or we would justify that time when we made them wait, or we judge our own in-laws, but we justify our own family's behavior. You know, those sorts of things. Jesus is calling it hypocrisy. He says there's hypocrisy in you. And the bigger point about all this is it's doing nothing to bless your relationships. It's not helping. It's actually only hurting. It's harming. So Jesus is offering us this solution. He says, spend most of your time, people, judging your own self. So you ask yourself, how do I do that? You ask yourself self-judgment questions. Like, ask your own self and reflect on, how has my family been experiencing me lately?
Wow.
If you're brave enough, you can actually ask them to their face. If you're humble enough to kind of prepared to hear the answer, we don't want to start World War III up in our family homes today. But if you're humble enough, you could actually say to them, how have I been lately? Have you found me engaged or have you found me distracted? Have you found me to be present? Have I been loving in my behaviors? Have I been loving in my words? Have I been an attentive listener to you lately? You could ask those questions because they're going to help you with self-judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Of course, also, we need to ask the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, ask the Holy Spirit, show me my planks. What a great prayer. That's an amazing relationship prayer. Instead of praying for your marriage or praying for your family with some generic sort of prayer language, Lord, bring breakthrough into my relationship. Lord, bring breakthrough to my marriage. Or perhaps worse still, God, help him. God, heal him.
Help
God,
him, Jesus.
Show him.
Change him,
Lord,
Jesus.
Change his heart. So often, like, we venture into something manipulative when we're praying those kind of prayers, but how about let's pray a different prayer. God, show me. God, show me what I might be doing that I can't even see about myself. Show me what I might be doing that is hurting, not helping, that is breaking, not building. Like, one of the greatest prayers that you can pray for the sake of your relationship is this from Psalm 139, verse 23. It says, search me, God. Everyone say, search me, God.
Search me, God.
I'll say it with conviction. Search me, God.
Search me.
Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me that I might not even know about. And lead me in the way everlasting. This prayer is going to help us judge ourselves and to help us see ourselves, perhaps not as the legends that we often think we are, but maybe more as we really are. And this prayer was prayed by King David, the most powerful, most anointed man in all of Israel at the time. If anyone could justify their standing and their right to judge others, it was actually King David, but he didn't do that. Rather, he prayed this search me prayer. And I think we could all learn from his example, right? Now, obviously, this entire process is going to demand humility from us. If we're actually going to shift the weight of judgment in our life, if we're going to shift away from the most of our time spent being that judge and jury of the people around us and now being majority time judge and jury of our own self, we're going to have to humble ourselves. There is no way that we can hold on to pride and actually engage in this weight shift. You know what I'm saying? So it's not easy, but I promise you, if you would apply this to your life, not just know it, but actually apply it to your life, you will watch your relationships start to change. So on the other side of this judging yourself will come blessing, will come goodness, and healthy relationships are actually waiting for you on the other side of this principle. I promise.
So good. Can we give Chrissy a big hand? She lives this stuff. It's really powerful.
That's right.
So good. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time together looking at what happens in our relationships when we actually judge ourselves. And the first point is this, is that clarity comes. Clarity comes. Jesus says this. We've read it already. We're going to read it again. You hypocrite, verse 5, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So what he's implying is when you're judging someone else, but you have done no work to assess or judge yourself, the implication is that you lack clarity.
Yes.
You're supposedly trying to help, but in fact, what you think you see, you're not seeing clearly at all. When you haven't deeply judged yourselves, whatever judgments are coming out of you, they're actually flowing through the lens of your own unjudged issues. It's a little bit like this. This is nothing like anything I've done in my life previously before, but I am going to give you an example just for example's sake, okay? If my judgments of Chrissy are through the lens of my own unforgiveness, right? Or maybe she's handing me my issues right now. Or maybe my unhealed bitterness, right? Or maybe I've got all these fears and insecurities that I grew up with that are never really quite addressed. And maybe it's I just get triggered by all this random stuff that I've just never quite seen anyone about or talked to anyone about. And all I do now is deal with her in the area of relationships. I can't even see my notes to know where I am in the part of my little talk right now, right?
So he's trying to judge me, but he can't see clearly. That's the point.
Here I am judging her for all her quirks and all her random ways of doing things and her ways of thinking and her ways of processing the world and I can't even see clearly myself. And for as long as I refuse to judge myself first. Yeah. See, what Jesus is actually asking me to do is this. I've got to first deal with my own unforgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got to deal with all of these triggers that are yet unhealed in me. I need to actually go see someone about these things that I've acquired over time that has been a wounding in my own heart. I need to move forward and to thrive. I first need to deal with the stuff. See, there's something very powerful about inspecting and dealing with the plank in your own eye so that you can now see clearly. You deal with you, or more importantly, let God deal with you, and that's when clarity begins to come. The way you see things will be clearer and far less tainted.
I hope that blesses you, because this principle actually played out so deeply in our marriage. Like, we were those people with all those lenses, if you like, all those issues stacked up over the way we saw each other, and we had no clarity. And in those early years of our marriage, we're chronically judging each other whilst never judging ourselves. And the result was neither of us could see the real issues with any degree of clarity. And I thought, as I judged Ken, that his issues were the primary reason our relationship was bad. But he's doing it back to us. He's judging the heck out of me, thinking that all of my issues were the primary reason our marriage was bad. And so we're madly trying to fix each other. Has anyone else, come on, help us out here. Like, we're just having an online counseling session right now.
This is therapeutic for us, actually.
You are our counseling. But we're madly trying to fix each other. We're madly fighting, but nothing was working because we had no clarity on what the real issues were. And so when we flipped that script, like Jesus told us to do, when I started to judge me, that's when I realized, oh, wow, I've got some things going on, don't I? You know, when I started to judge me, that's when I saw, oh, my gosh, I really do have quite a lot of unforgiveness towards him, don't I? I haven't released him from that and that and that and that. You know, like, and I started to see that within myself I had a double standard. I'm expecting him to do a whole heap of things that I'm not prepared to do myself, or I'm holding him to a really high standard but letting myself off the hook at every available opportunity. Like, I had to look at myself, and once I started to judge myself, suddenly I saw the marriage very differently. It gave me like this greater degree of clarity, which is exactly what Jesus said, then you will see clearly. And I was able to say, yeah, sure, look, he's got his things going on, sure. Like, let's just make that clear, everybody. He had his things going on. But, amen, amen, amen. But regardless of what he had done, I was now able to say, look, I have done a lot that has actually contributed to the way that this relationship is. And so my priority became, rather than seeking to fix him, I'm looking to God to change me. And Lord, I need you to heal me. And I'm actually looking to Ken differently now as well. I'm repentant before God, before him. I'm asking for forgiveness for the things that I had done. And when Ken started to do that same thing in our marriage, stop judging me, really judge himself, he began to see clearly too, and that's when the difficult parts of our marriage, that was the beginning of the restoration, amen? That's when things started to come good and real healing started to take place. And it's been said, when you change the way you look at something, the thing you look at changes.
Yeah.
When you change the way you look at something, the thing you look at changes. And that's what Jesus was trying to say to us in Matthew chapter 7. You know, before I judged myself, the way I thought I saw it was not the way it really was. But after starting to judge myself, that's when that clarity came and that healing came and blessing started to come.
Is this helpful to you guys? Another wonderful thing that happens when we judge ourselves rather than judging others is this. That the measure we use naturally changes. The measure changes. We're going to explain that in a minute. Jesus says this, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When Jesus says measure, he's really talking about your attitude or your approach to others. What kind of measure do you use? It's talking about your attitude. Are you known as a harsh critic of others? Are you quite judgmental? Are you quite self-righteous towards other people? Are you always nitpicking? Well, that's a harsh measure. But there's another type of measure. It's the measure of love and grace. Yeah. To be forgiving and have a generous spirit towards, a gracious spirit towards others' flaws and their imperfections and their mistakes. When you have no habit of judging yourself, you're way more likely to use a harsh measure. Way more likely to be a judgmental, critical person. But when we habitually judge ourselves, we begin to see that, hey, we're not all that crash hot and perfect either.
Yeah.
We see that we don't always get it right.
Yeah.
Like in what Chrissy shared earlier, when I looked at me, I saw that the very things that annoyed me about her, I did worse than that.
Yeah.
Right? I was actually worse at that than her. And in the judging of ourselves, we realize our own need for love and grace and forgiveness. And in seeing our need for it, we become much more inclined to extend it to others. Am I making sense? And as we look inside, the measure begins to change. I began to realize I actually need forgiveness. I actually need grace. I actually need someone to journey with me on this. I'm far from where I need to be. As we judge ourselves, instead of having a judgmental, critical measure towards others, we actually soften and come back to a measure of love and to a measure of grace.
That's so good. And we see this principle playing out in the book of John chapter 8. You probably remember the account in this scripture where Jesus interacts with that woman who is caught in the act of adultery. And they've brought her out, and those people standing around her, judging her, they were ready to stone her. And she was surrounded by this judgment, you can say, that was very harsh, that was very critical, that was very legal in its spirit. And the judgment that surrounded her was completely devoid of love and grace. You're following me so far? But Jesus came, and he brought a different measure into that situation. He did not express harsh judgment with this woman. Rather, he stood with her, and he actually disarmed the harsh measure of those people who were ready to stone her and judge her. The way he did that, I believe, was absolute genius. So with this simple statement, he actually forced the haters, or he forced the judges, to judge themselves by saying, "He who is without sin casts the first stone." And it's this one simple statement that forces them to stop and reflect on their own conduct before they judged someone else. They were forced to inspect the plank in their own eye. And of course, once they did so, their measure changed. You see that? Once they did so, all those harsh judgments fell away. They looked inside and they softened. The stones that they wanted to throw at her, after looking inside, they now put those stones down. And so Jesus didn't excuse the woman from what she had done. And Jesus didn't act as if it hadn't happened or it didn't matter. And I think that that's important to say. Jesus is not saying it doesn't matter. Jesus isn't acting like it didn't happen. But rather than a measure of harsh judgment, he's saying pick up a measure of love and grace and mercy. And he forced all those judges to pick up a measure of mercy. And the result of that account was beautiful and life-giving. And I want to just say that to us and to our relationships. When we start putting Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 7 into practice, when we're first judging ourselves in all things, at all times, it's not one, we do it once and then we walk away. I've done that now and now get back to judging you. No, it's not like that. All things, all times. The inevitable result is just like these judging men of John chapter 8, our measure actually changes. And the stones we once held up to lob at each other, you know, like and lob at anybody and everybody else around us, we suddenly put those stones down, because through this lifestyle of humility and lifestyle of honest reflection, that's when we actually realize I am perpetually in need of the love and grace and mercy of the Lord, which makes me way more likely to now extend a measure of love and grace and mercy to the people that are around me. And this is exactly the dynamic that happened in our own marriage as we judged each other less and judged ourselves more. more. We were kinder to one another. You know, we were blessing one another more, quicker to forgive, more loving, more gracious. And of course, the end result of that was that our relationship got so much better. It's just a no-brainer. That's what this does. The dynamics of your relationships will quickly change when you adopt a loving and gracious measure rather than a hard one. People are going to recoil from a harsh measure, but they respond well to a measure of love and grace. Amen. And what's more, the more you're gracious with them, the more they're likely to be gracious with you. And isn't that what Jesus said? With the measure that you use, it will be measured unto you. That has an eternal sort of principle, but it's also an earthly one. A harsh measure is often going to be reciprocated with harshness. But a gentle measure will be reciprocated with a gracious, gentle, loving measure.
Is that helpful, guys? You know, I used to think in our marriage, let's fight fire with fire. It's on. Let's do this. Roll our sleeves up. We go the 10 rounds, right? But that's not what Jesus teaches. It's about approaching each other with love and grace. Romans 12, verse 3. Mizos, you can come and join me. Paul concurs completely with Jesus when he says this: do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. If everybody does this in their relationships, we guarantee we'll probably eradicate 90% of the conflict. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Think about that in that office dynamic. I know you just sprung to mind sometime this morning. Think about that in that conversation you just had with your spouse on the way to church today. Think about the way that you treated the car park guy because he wouldn't wave you into the closer park. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Jesus was a genius when he said, inspect the plank in your own eye. Deal with that first so you can now see clearly before you try and attempt to pick at the speck of sawdust in your own brother's eye.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.